You shouldn't need a game plan just to get out of the car. Joint Relief Institute can help you. Fast, non-surgical, immediate pain relief and covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Ron Brown reviews movies for us. He hands out brownie points every week. In fact, it's every Thursday. How are you today, Ron?
I'm doing fine. I'm ready to hand out some brownie points for you, Lisa. I'm really excited about this show.
I got to tell you, last week when we were talking about The Octopus, you know, I told you I was a little nervous because I've went, oh, I'm going to watch this. And then, you know, it turns into a very sad tale. And I don't mind that on some nights, but other nights I'm just like, no, I'm not up for this. And Mary, you watched this movie, right? That's what John Hansen was telling me.
Wasn't that sad?
Well, I didn't know. That's why I got Ron reviewing it. It's called Remarkably Bright Creatures, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the first two movies in today's Brownie Points could be reviewed by Dr. Doolittle. Remarkably Bright Creatures is narrated by an aging octopus, and if you could talk to the animals, you'd have an interesting conversation with the flock in The Sheep Detectives. That's another Lisa special. They are sleuths for the truth.
I said that today, and I go, I don't know what that means, John Hansen, but I'm going to find out with Ron Brown. And he said he was interested in Remarkably Bright Creatures because of Sally Field.
Yes.
She's not in it. She narrates part?
No, she's in it. She's in it. She's a real-life person. She plays a janitor or a cleaning lady at an aquarium, and she's actually grieving the loss of her her husband, and her son. She's playing the role of Tova Sullivan, and she's very, very good in it. And the other main characters are played by Bill Pullman's son, Lewis Pullman, and his name is Cameron in the movie. His van breaks down, so he has to take a job at the aquarium where Sally Field or Tova works as an overnight cleaning lady. And, you know, she kind of like explains to him why it's so important to do what they do, to respect your work, to respect the animals, to respect other people, because he's a kid, basically.
Yeah.
But she has an affinity, and she understands, and she admires the lonely old octopus in the aquarium named Marcellus, who really just wants to be alone, just like her. She wants to withdraw from everybody in her grief, and that's not very healthy, as we all know. So that's kind of the premise of the story. Now, Sally Field is a character in there. It's Marcellus who narrates, the octopus who narrates the story. Marcellus, I mean, we all know that octopuses are very, very smart, but they can't talk. So if we don't hear him talk, we just hear his thoughts and what we're thinking. So
And I got to tell you, Ron, I did watch like the first 3 minutes and he's talking and I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to fall in love with this octopus and then he's going to die. I just wasn't in the mood for it. But you and Mary have convinced me this is one I need to watch. Right?
There's a lot more to it than that. And it is. It's about relationships. It's emotional without being syrupy or sappy. It is still sweet, and more sweet than sad. So I would definitely recommend it. I'm giving Remarkably Bright Creatures 3.5 out of 5 brownie points. And there is a warning, though. You'll probably want to go to the Shedd Aquarium right afterwards. But that's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful place to go. It is streaming right now on Netflix.
We had the Shedd on yesterday. They've got a new 4D experience. It's the penguins, the shark, or the octopus. So check that out. I think you pay like under $6 an additional price unless you're a member, and then it's under $3.
Yeah, go see the octopus. Don't tap on the glass and don't bother them. They're very sensitive creatures. So
well, the same with kids at zoos and, you know, gorillas or orangutans or chimpanzees. I'm like, please stop your kids from antagonizing the animals.
Maybe watch Remarkably Bright Creatures with a child as a educational movie.
Oh, good.
This is how you act at an aquarium or at zoos.
Hey, the next one, The Sheep Detectives, is that animated, I'm guessing?
Well, CGI, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're onto that because sheep's don't really detect, and sheeps don't really talk, but it's impossible, perhaps it's even illegal to review a movie about talking sheep, rams, and lambs and not use the word cute. So I'm not taking any chances. I'm using the word extremely cute because it is. It's also funny, Lisa. It is charming, as you would imagine, and it's very well written. It stars Hugh Jackman and Emma Thompson and the voices of Julia Louise Dreyfus and Bryan Cranston, among others. You'll probably recognize them when you hear them. They are curious, crime-solving sheep, and this is a good story. They're good detectives because their shepherd, Hugh Jackman, reads detective stories to them each and every night, not knowing that they understand every word and that they discuss the stories and try to solve the mysteries when he goes off to sleep. When he's found dead under suspicious circumstances, that's not a spoiler alert. That's, you know, part of the movie. It's in the trailer. The sheep decide to solve the murder themselves. So the humor is soft and cuddly, just like a little bitty lamb. And the Agatha Christie-like crime mystery is intriguing enough just to keep you guessing who is the wolf in sheep's clothing, so to speak, and who's trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes.
Cool.
It's also educational as well. Now, you may know this. I don't know that a lot of people know this. Did you know that sheep are afraid to cross a road?
I did not know that.
Because, I mean, they're left out in meadows. They see a road. Yeah. And it's like it's in the movie. And I was like, is that true? I'm going to go ask Google. And Google said, yes, sheep, because it looks so different to them. Their depth perception is so bad. They see, you know, asphalt. They see a gravel road. And they're just like, I don't know what that is, but it's not grass. So I'm not going over there. Also, something else that's educational. You may know this, but most of our listeners may not, that most lambs are born in the spring.
Yes.
You knew that.
Lambing season.
And winter lambs are generally neglected by the flock because they're unusual.
Yeah, yeah. And most of the regular size just got sheared in the past few weeks, so they look naked walking around the pastures.
Yeah, so that's a part of the movie as well. So it's really, really cute without being too fuzzy. I was charmed by the Sheep Detectives. I give it 3.5 out of 5 brownie points. It is still in theaters right now, but it will be available to rent on Amazon Prime soon. But okay. as I always do, I recommend going out to the theaters for the communal experience.
Ron Brown is with us. Usually he's the voice in the newsroom, but we're reviewing movies. I certainly want to talk about the Cannes Film Festival. I do say that right, Cannes, right?
Yes, yeah. Cannes.
And John Travolta, looking great as ever. That's next. We grew up watching Vinnie Barbarino. You did, right, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's when we fell in love with John Travolta. Yeah. And he flew himself to the Cannes Film Festival. At least I saw he posted something with his daughter. Still looks fantastic. I don't know what kind of youth serum that guy's on, but I want some. What can you tell me about him in France right now?
They love him at Cannes. The Cannes Film Festival is underway until the 23rd. It's considered the world's most prestigious film festival. Every year, it's a launch pad for international films that are competing for the top prize, the Palme d'Or, they call it. Past winners include Anora last year, Anatomy of a Fall, a very good movie, Parasite, which also won the Oscar, Pulp Fiction, which starred John Travolta, among others, Barton Fink, a Coen Brothers movie, All That Jazz, Apocalypse Now won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. It's as prestigious as it gets. But surely not on that list ever of prestigious films is the new first film by John Travolta.
Oh, is it bad?
It debuted at Cannes. Well, I can tell you one of the headlines I saw that John Travolta's new film, Propeller One-Way Night Coach, crash lands at Cannes. So it's getting savaged by the critics, sadly enough. It's based on a children's book that he wrote in 1977. It's an autobiographical family movie, so it's very, very personal for him. And the movie also stars Travolta's daughter, Ella Blow. Or is it Blue? Ella Blue.
I think it's Blue. Yeah. Ella Blue, yeah.
Ella Blue Travolta.
Yeah. In fact, that's why they were, that's why everything I was seeing on social media was Travolta and Ella Blue landing in a jet, because he is a pilot. In fact, sometimes he lands out in Princeton or somewhere out here in Illinois. People always buzz about him landing his plane out there. I'm not sure why, but That's why they were doing a little extra promotion, because the movie is getting panned.
Yeah, he did walk away from Cannes a winner, though. He was surprised with an honorary Palme d'Or award. That's the equivalent of a Lifetime Achievement Award, and that's a very big thing. So they gave that to him right away, and that is, you know, his body of work over a career has been, you know, truly amazing. You're talking about Grease. You're talking about Saturday Night Fever. Of course, Pulp Fiction. We won't talk about the Look Who's Talking movies, but but he has had a lot of good work, and he was honored at the Palme d'Or, with the Palme d'Or.
That's cool. Hey, can you tell me about The Christophers? Because I know you're kind of high on this.
I liked this movie a lot. It stars Gandalf himself, the esteemed actor Sir Ian McKellen, and a young British actress named Michelle Cole. It's basically a conversation between the two of them for the entire movie. So the conversation has to be pretty good if it's just two people in there. And it is. He's Julian Sklar, an aging artist of some renown. His early works sell for millions of dollars. So that's some renown right there. Collectors just love him. But he's not only at the end of his career, he's kind of nearing the end of his life. And that's why his sniveling, conniving, devious two children hire Laurie, who's played by Cole, and they know that she can duplicate Sklar's early work, and they want her to finish an unfinished series of paintings that Julian began decades ago called The Christophers, because they believe that each of these new paintings, if collectors are told they are old, unseen, recently found paintings, will then sell for millions after his death. All they have to do is hide them and sell them when their father dies, and then all the money will be theirs. What a plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work out that way, so that's why we have a good movie. They convinced the father to hire Laurie as an assistant so she can get close and personal, and she can get close to the unfinished paintings, duplicate them, and finish them in his style. That's the plan, but then, of course, things go awry, needless to say. But the conflict is smart. The dialogue is sharp. The feelings between the artist and the assistant seem deep, and they seem real. I think it's a real work of art. I really like this movie, The Christophers.
How many brownie points?
I'm giving it 4.5 out of 5 brownie points. It's not a masterpiece, but it is the next best thing. It's very, very good.
What's your creepy movie of the week?
That's Obsession. It's a creepy movie because it's a creepy premise. It's a geeky guy who magically gets his secret crush, a vivacious and very attractive young woman, out of his league, to tell you the truth, to love him more than anyone or anything in the world. Now, it's creepy because it's not her choice. It's his magic wish to override her own free will, and she's suddenly his devoted emotional slave. That's a creepy premise, if you think about it.
Yeah, yucky.
Yeah, it's a young man's fantasy that goes terribly, terribly wrong when he realizes that, hey, this isn't the same girl he fell in love with. Well, imagine that. You've kind of changed her, you know, rewired her mind with your wish. It's a new version of the Monkey's Paw horror story that's been around for like about 100 years. And this story keeps getting remade every other decade or so because it's a good story. The wish is granted, and that just seems great. But then it slowly turns into a gruesome, lifelong curse. Now, the performances are engaging. Michael Johnston, as the main character, known as Bear, and Indy Navarrete, rather, as the crush, Nikki. She smiles the way you never want anybody to smile at you, trust me. But I found it really good. The pacing was brisk. The cautionary tale story was well told. I'm giving Obsession 3 out of 5 brownie points. It's for younger 20-something viewers, but it's a good one.
Yeah, bloody or not bloody?
There's some blood, but by today's standards, not too much.